from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitine.
My bad. In the last segment, I usually try not to use names over and over again. I reference Harold again, so I apologize. Harold and by the way, Harold just texted in too, and he said, "Hey, good morning, Chef. It's Harold again. Did I just hear G say Harold again in reference to bikini baristas?"
Yeah, what happened to Cletus?
Cletus found me at an event. So, you know, I do a lot of events every week, you know that. And so sometimes yes. I got to see folks in person. Sometimes I say their names. And they're like, you want to talk that? You want to say that in front of my face? And usually I no, I'm sorry.
You did not meet a Cletus.
No, I didn't. But it sounded good first time.
Okay, coming up at 10:30, here's a story that just as the show got started today.
Yeah.
We have got to talk about
this. We got to talk about this because one of our friends, Lori, texted in and she says, "G, is this true?" And here's what it's about. It's about the new head coach for the Seattle Seahawks over in Renton at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. He basically came in and took pictures down of the ex-husband. And he took pictures down of everything that the ex-husband did prior to him. Is that a good way of explaining it?
I like it. When the new boss comes in, what can you expect when it comes to changes and how do you react?
Okay.
And is it important for that new boss to start fresh? Or are there things that boss should hold on to that are sacred to an organization?
Okay.
How's that?
Let's do it. But right now, bam, what's new at 10?
What's new at 10?
And we want to go a little bit further in our coverage of Boeing because in the nation's capital yesterday, there was testimony from two Boeing whistleblowers, and they were allegedly accusing basically the company of covering up.
They are putting out defective airplanes.
That is Boeing engineer Sam Salipour, who told the Senate Investigative Committee that he worked on the 787 and the 777, and he claims that he saw workers forcing parts of the aircraft together in an attempt to close gaps.
I literally saw people jumping on the pieces of the airplane to get them to align.
Now, I want to say, that sounds crazy, and I want to say that I just recently had dinner with a current Boeing engineer and a former Boeing engineer who, while they were grousing about things that are going on with the company today, they were raising some issues in terms of what this particular person, Sam Salipour is saying, and you know whether this person is a disgruntled employee. Boeing is denying these claims because Sam Salipour is basically doubling down on his claims that he made, and he is saying that the 787 Dreamliner planes need to be grounded because of widespread safety concerns.
Right.
Now, you know already that there are companies, there are airlines, Alaska Airlines just said that because of the grounding and because of the grounding of this airplane after the door panel blew off.
Yeah.
They're losing tons of money. Mm-hmm. And what this engineer is alleging and saying that needs to happen to make sure that these planes are safe would be catastrophic not only to Boeing but to airlines as well.
Right. When Heather was talking about it this morning and you guys are talking about it, I saved what I wanted to say for 10 o'clock. And this is how I look at this Boeing topic. It's simple for me, Ursula. It's three of us here. Ursula, you're the boss. You pay me or you count on me to do the audit for the inventory that's in the office. Chef is the one that is the warehouse manager that works in the warehouse. I report to you, and every time you get the report from me, Ursula, I tell you that everything that Chef is doing is fantastic. It is meeting standard. Everything is present and accounted for. And then come to find out, all this time I did not do, and it wasn't accurate. Come to find out, you got all things missing. There's all these problems. And so now everybody's coming down on Chef and what was happening in the warehouse while just not making me at all the story. And so when I hear about this, sure, Boeing has its problems. Obviously so. I just really feel really uncomfortable with how much the FAA was really just not being accountable and actually saying that they were doing the right things.
Well, and it's some people would say that the FAA, especially not so much the NTSB, but the FAA was almost fearful in its relationship with Boeing, or would just defer to Boeing a lot, like essentially instead of being the one to look and stop things from going incorrectly or being done incorrectly, it would almost foster this kind of relationship. I mean, you could call it a cozy relationship or whatever, but it's just, it wasn't the role. Now the FAA is saying, wait a minute. And in fact, look at the audit that we did and look at, you know, what we found. And our findings say that Boeing was not in compliance in a bunch of these things. Bottom line is, right now, Boeing on a daily basis is getting a public flogging. This is such bad public relations that this company, this with a storied history here in the Pacific Northwest, is on a daily basis where when you have people who work there or who have worked there for a long time are saying, it's embarrassing.
Right.
I feel terrible. I wish that you know, yeah, I work for Boeing. I used to be proud of working for Boeing, and they don't feel that way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, I go all the way to leadership, which we've heard, you know, starting with the merger with McDonnell Douglas and how it just went downhill from there. But Dave Calhoun, who is going to leave at the end of the year, should be gone by now, first of all. Mm-hmm. Secondly, this idea that there are people who are raising issues and then they feel like the company is turning on them, the company needs to address that immediately. You can't just say, we welcome your feedback and we welcome you telling us, you know, when something's wrong. And then someone says something's wrong. And now they say they're getting death threats or getting, you know, threats of this one engineer saying I got, you know, threatened physically because I dared to say something.
Right.
There's something seriously wrong to the core.
So I gave that long, drawn-out thing, and it's the last thing I want to say about it. And that long, drawn-out metaphor that I was giving is I want to just say this. This is when I come to you, Ursula, who's in charge, and I say to you, Ursula, your stuff's broken. And it's been so for a long time. But you were more concerned with how the message was received by we, the people. And also, one more thing. The people that bought these planes, whoever you are, whoever bought the planes, did you guys know there was problems? Did you guys know that there was issues? Did you guys see the work wasn't good? All I'm saying is for anybody that listens to me and say, gee, you don't understand, I believe you. You know I don't. But what I do know that every single week there is something new. And so this lets me know that if we're hearing about this now, this has been continued, but it's been covered up for so long.
Yeah, there's supposed to be checks and balances, and there's supposed to be. So it's not, I mean, the buck stops with the leadership at Boeing, but there's leadership at you know, every different level where everyone plays a role, right? But that also goes with the airlines itself. That goes with the FAA. That goes with the NTSB. So, and it just seems like everyone turned a blind eye.
Yeah.
Can I propose a fix, actually? Because what we haven't talked about here is the money aspect of it. It's time to make stock buybacks illegal again. I'm going to quote from Dominic Gates in the Times. Boeing's leaders delivered gushers of cash to shareholders through stock buybacks and dividends. $68 billion since 2010. Before 1982, stock buybacks were illegal, right? And this is when a company purchases their own stock in order to inflate the price so that the shareholders profit, the executives profit. And when you have a profit motive standing between safety, it's really hard to be welcoming of critical feedback. This is stock buybacks, by the way. This is money that could be going to workers. It could be going into research and development, into safety. In 2022, U.S. companies spent over $1 trillion on stock buybacks. Mm. And we wonder why we can't have higher wages. We wonder why we have shoddy products. It is a result directly of that. Just make that illegal again.
What are the chances of that?
I haven't heard anyone proposing it.
That's exactly
because you know what?
So what do you
your
do,
retirement
do you do
portfolio
right now?
Yeah. Could depend on it, right?
Ursula, you asked, what's the chance of that?
I think
whenever on this show we fight for people to make more money, we get pushback. We don't even get pushback from executives. We don't get pushback from the CEOs that when he steps down, if the stock does this, he will get X amount of money. He'll be able to get the parachute package when they leave. I think it is already ingrained in our minds, and it seems to be okay. When will that change? I don't know. But you know what needs to change? People making more money. The middle class needs to quit shrinking. And it's shrinking because of these things are considered to be okay. Mm-hmm. All right, what you got next, Ursula?
Okay, well, let's talk about what's going on in Tacoma since we're talking about money. We're talking about universal basic income because this project funded by the legislature kicks off this week. And we're talking about specifically qualified families who will be receiving $500 a month for a year with no strings attached. So these families are what the United Way calls ALICE families. That's an acronym for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, and Employed. So they are working, but they just can't make that paycheck stretch out enough to cover all their bills. So they have to earn between 100% and 200% of the federal poverty line. The News Tribune editorial board wholeheartedly supports this project, but questions whether public funds should be used. Just a reminder that in King County, another UBI pilot just ended. And families were given $500 a month for 10 months. And the Seattle Times reports that those in that program did find better jobs. They increased their wages and they put money into savings. So if you look at those as your metrics, it was a success. So employment grew from 37% to 66% by the end of the program. Average monthly income went from about $3,000 to $3,400. The percentage of people who had any savings went from one quarter to a third. And for families, the percent with savings increased from 0 to 42%. So, frankly, every time we bring up UBI, there is a lot of pushback. I am, I want to say probably slowly, but slowly seeing that why shouldn't we try this on a larger scale, because so far it's been smaller projects and by and large, these smaller pilot programs have been successful.
Why do you think you've been slowly to this idea?
Well,
That isn't just for you.
I'm trying to say that I have been conditioned like many others to think that you shouldn't just get money for free. That the money could be used for things that are other, you know, that are not what the money is intended to go for, and so yeah, those would generally be it. Like the idea of free money with no strings attached. Right.
I really wish that when folks and people need help, that people don't automatically assume that that money goes to be used towards something negative, what they think. Because I can assure you that when you are struggling financially and you get that little bit of a bump and you get that little bit of that $500 a month, there's somebody listening right now and you probably have a job. You're doing everything you can to make ends meet. If all of a sudden you had an extra $500 a month, how much would that help you? Sometimes an extra $500 a month could be the difference in a decrease in teen crime in Renton. You see, the reason why we have a lot of the problems that we have today is because of the continued inaction of our country for years. This didn't just start during the pandemic. This has been 100 years of inaction, 100 years of doing the wrong thing. And so now we're trying to do the right thing, and we have to, which I appreciate you being honest about, you know, as far as being slowly to get to this point. We can't demonize when people need help. It's interesting, right? Because before I came on, I was looking at all of the people during the pandemic that got PPP loans, right? And the same people that scream socialism, the same people that talk about people needing handouts, they were the first ones to get those PPP loans unforgiven. And you make all that money, but for some reason you needed a PPP loan? Interesting. So I'm just amazed how it's, you know, handouts for this person, but it is just business for the other. And the hypocrisy that goes behind that. And so for years, the welfare queen myth has really shaped the narrative of how people think. They think, oh, he's going to get the $500 a month. What's he going to do? Go buy Air Jordans and cigarettes and a TV? Is that what happens for you and your family? Is that what happens when your family needs help?
Jamie in Seattle just texted in and said, when I was struggling, $20 was a big difference for me to be able to do laundry.
Yeah. Oh, that's a huge difference. Thank you for that topic, Jamie. Appreciate that. All right, Ursula.
The new boss.
The new boss. You guys got to stick around for this because we're going to need your help. So let me tell you what's going on. The new head coach for the Seattle Seahawks, Mike McDonald, he came in and he is making some changes. I want to see if you agree with it. I have a very strong opinion about this topic. Ooh, I can't wait to share it next year or so.
This hour of the G and Ursula Show is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors.
This is the G and Ursula Show, and boy, is change hard. Seattle Seahawks have a new coach in Mike McDonald, and it sounds like he is shaking things up around the VMAC.
Yes. So, first, it was reported that Mike McDonald moved the famous basketball hoop that Pete Carroll would keep in the meeting room that they every morning they'd come in. So The basketball hoop was in there. It is now gone. And now the latest is that when you go through the Virginia Mason Athletic Center and you go through the practice facility, on the walls are the picture of where it's Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll and Paul Allen. The glory days of the Super Bowl. Then you see a lot of the plays, the Marshawn Lynch beast mode and Sidney Rice and Jermaine Kearse and his catch that he made in the NFC Championship game against Green Bay. There's just all kinds of do you remember the time kind of photos as you walk through. Well, though all of those photos have been taken down.
Why?
I don't know. I haven't asked the coach yet. So the question is this, because we had our friend Lori text us and asked me, hey, G, is this true? I'm like, yeah, it's true. So I guess the question would be, you're hearing it. Ursula, what are your thoughts? Are you okay with the new head coach, Mike McDonald, taking those pictures down?
I think it's silly. Well, I think that is always going to be a part of the Seahawks history. Uh-huh. maybe I think that he should come in and embrace that, maybe enhance some of the displays or give his own stamp on it. But to remove that is to remove a great piece of history from the Seahawks.
Right. So I, you know how my brain works, Ursula. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I'm going to give you how I think about this. If you date someone and they have an ex-husband and everything, you know the ex-husband exists. You can't take that away, right? And you know that they had some good times, right? But we ain't about to have them pictures still up on the wall. So us taking the pictures down off the wall does not take away the fact that you had some great times with your ex-husband. We just not keeping those pictures and photos on the wall. Why? Because I don't want to walk around here as if I have to live up to those best days. I'm going to say this now as...
Could be aspirational.
I'm going to say this now and make it and put it in layman's terms for you guys for the practice facility. I think Mike McDonald is right in doing this, but I still don't like it. Right? You can not like something and actually agree with it.
That you understand why he's doing it, because he's trying to put his own stamp, which is what so many bosses do.
And he should do this, because the truth of the matter is we don't need to, when we talk about the Seattle Seahawks, the first thing shouldn't be Legion of Boom, or the first thing shouldn't be Beast Mode, or the first thing, you want to know why? Because those things happened 10 years ago, y'all.
Yeah.
It was 10 years ago. It's over. So
for example, the Mariners should not have pictures of Ken Griffey Jr. So why do the Mariners have a statue of Griffey?
The statue outside, because he's a Hall of Famer. And I think if the Seahawks were to have a statue,
yes, went to the Super Bowl.
But they're not. But this isn't Hall of Fame type stuff. These are just pictures, right? And another thing is like this: when the Mariners, how many times? Let me ask y'all this. How many times have you heard the replay of the 95 slide? You want to know why you keep hearing that for the Mariners and the 95 slide?
That was the highlight.
Because that has been the highlight, right? So we need to start talking
making
about
new highlights.
Making new highlights. Uh-huh. So if I'm with Jane, and Jane is always talking about when she and the ex-husband went to Disneyland with the kids, it's on me to take Jane to some other things, so she ain't always reminiscing and thinking about the past.
Okay,
so
Heather's been sticking around here
12,
for this conversation.
The 12's going to weigh in. I 100% agree with taking the photos down. One, it's the practice facility, right? So it's what the other players are seeing. You got to focus on the future. And yes, the specter of the Legion of Boom and the success that the team had 10 years ago, it's always going to be there, like the 95 Mariners call that we all hear. Dave Niehaus, we love you. But yeah, I 100% agree. Take the photos down. Focus on the future. Move the photos somewhere else. We can admire them, but let's embrace the future.
It's right along there with, okay, now we have to get all new furniture when the other furniture was just fine.
I mean, hey, Ursula. Hey, check this out. You at least got to get a new bed. You know what I'm talking about?
Okay, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. I'm not going to keep using the same old sheets. Okay, yeah.
Now, Ursula.
What?
That
went too far?
Yeah, that went too far.
When you're the one who put it in my head.
I said bed. You went extreme. Okay, and one last point to make. And here's another reason why it was the right thing to do. Because constantly, every time a new player comes, Tariq Woolen, who was the new corner, he was second in Rookie of the Year a couple years ago to Sauce Gardner. What did everybody say about him? Is he the next Richard Sherman? Right? Kenneth Walker III, the running back. Is he the next Marshawn? Right? So we're constantly comparing. And
I
so
find
Mike McDonald did
wrong with that.
I do.
I'll tell you. What shocks me is when someone walks into an organization.
Yeah.
Like if they walk into an organization here and come in and go, "Who's Dave Ross?" My respect for you has gone.
You know what? Right now, Ursula,
I'm giving you some.
Give me some room, because what's happening is I can't concentrate no more. You took it extreme. You went to sheets. I'm done. Chef, save us. I don't even know what to say no more.
I think maybe one of the reasons why people react this way is because everybody's had a new boss come into their job, and their immediate thing is, I'm making changes. Changes that don't need to be made.
Exactly.
It's like, expressly for the purpose of saying, this is my shop now. Yes. Oh, we're going to get a new software system because that one's bunk. We're going to do a new process on this because I want you to do it my way.
Yeah, if you
and
get a
some
new
of that is totally
system,
warranted.
If
but,
you get a new software system that makes my job better, I'm great with that. It's the new furniture and let's change the decor when you should just be paying everybody more. That's the thing that hacks me off.
Right.
You know what, Janet and Kirkland? Janet and Kirkland, how dare you?
What?
She asked how many cups of coffee did G have this morning?
Thank you.
Hey, Janet, you're not going to say anything to Ursula?
No, because I keep mine under control. I've only had one.
Well, how about that comment? That comment was at least two to three cups of coffee.
That comment was finishing your thought.
I didn't go to the sheets.
Okay, we're going to do agree to disagree. No, we're going to do scenarios. I'll bring up the sheets again.
Oh, do that next. Gin Ursula.
Scenarios is brought to you by 1-800-DUI-AWAY.
Gosh, I love that song. I mean, seriously, love that song.
You can't go wrong with Diana. You know?
No, you cannot. Oh, man. Ursula's going to start singing in a minute. Let's get the scenarios.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
All right. I was doing it the entire break, and I wasn't ready. Here we go. My third grade daughter told me that one of the boys in her class was talking a lot. The teacher tried to get him to cooperate several times, and he wouldn't behave. Finally, the teacher had enough, and she freaked out in front of the entire class. She screamed, "Shut up! Can't you just shut up for a minute?" He did shut up. He didn't say anything the rest of the day. My daughter felt bad for him, but she did say the teacher tried to handle it well. In a way, I can't blame teachers for advancing their warnings. But is it okay to tell students to shut up? I should tell someone about this, but I don't want to be a whistleblower. Sorry for using that term because I know it's a hot topic lately. For something that may not be a big deal. Other than that, she's been a great teacher all year. What should I do right now? 888-973-5476 is the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line. I don't want to hear any Karens being mentioned today. Go ahead, Ursula.
I won't. I retired that 2 years ago. It was short-lived. I don't think you should do anything. I think you should have your conversation with your daughter. Your daughter brought it up. She knows that shut up is not a great way to try to command respect or to show respect, but also realizes that this kid was getting on everyone's nerves, especially the teacher, and she had a moment. You said that the parent thinks that this is a great teacher, the daughter thinks it's a great teacher, it worked, she feels bad for the boy. And I would just have that conversation about what are appropriate ways to address a problem. Shut up is not great, but we do make mistakes. How could she have handled it better? I would keep it at that. If there's another incident, then I would bring it up. But in this case, what would be the point?
You know what? Before you go, Chef, I just want to say this. Mind your business. All she did was tell the kid to shut up. Sometimes these kids need to get a little shut up. Matter of fact, sometimes you need to add a little something spice to it that shut the up. That's the problem. Don't talk to Johnny like that. Don't talk to him like that. And then little Johnny grows up to be a bad kid. Why? Because nobody told him to shut up and sit down. All right, we got you.
Everyone's been human. Everyone who's had kids has hit this moment.
Yep.
And virtually everyone who's been a parent has said something to their child or in a way that they regret. And guess what? Teachers are people, too. And, G, I actually have to concur with you a little bit on this one.
That's like the first time in 4 years you've agreed with anything I've said.
Yeah, I mean, because like I'm coaching farm team baseball right now.
Oh.
And it's like 10 boys, 12 boys with ADD, all ADD. Right. And they're just all over the place. And we're having a moment in practice the other day. I'm the assistant coach. And the head coach turns around during one moment and he's just like, "Guys, knock it off. And the kids, their eyes all, because they're not used to being talked that way. And guess what?
It worked.
They knocked it off.
Yes.
You know what? Sometimes kids need to be put back on their heels a little bit. And you don't have to be crude. You obviously don't have to put your hands on a kid. But an occasional keep your mouth shut and sit down, fine with it.
I think it's worthy, though, of validating your daughter's feeling like, hey, you know, that felt like it maybe went overboard or just... It worked. It was effective. But I think you can talk through some of these things like, hey, what are other ways that she could have handled it? And then just be done with it.
Okay. We're giving our opinion. But I need to ask all of you, yeah. Ursula, if your kids came home and said, Mom, the teacher at school told the other child to shut up, what would you do? Would you go talk to the teacher? Would you go do anything with it?
No.
Neither would I.
You know how many times I heard that growing up? In class, I had a teacher that threatened to tie me to my chair with her nylons.
That actually sounds pretty fun.
She's very intimidating.
And you were worried about me saying sheets?
No, wait. I was just talking about, like, the classroom sounds fun. The classroom, Ursula, what are you talking about?
The reason I'm laughing so hard, though, is because... Chef, I can just imagine that you were a challenging child.
Oh, I bet. I believe that. Oh, I totally believe that.
Yeah.
But you turned out so well.
Yeah. But I'm just it wasn't until I was a little bit scared that my behavior changed, right?
Yes.
Not like terrified, but like, oh, they need you, business.
Did you tell your parents that
heck yeah, they didn't care at all. You're like, good.
You know,
I wish she would.
You know, Emily on Camino Island makes a very good point. She says, we grew up in another time. And I got to tell you, I love the time that I grew up. I really do. Because I remember one coach that it didn't matter with the parents. If your grades were not up to par, you could not play in the game. That was the coach's rule.
Yeah.
And he would tell the parents, if you don't like it, go to another team. Could you imagine getting away with that today?
One of the things that I hear over and over and over again from our educator listeners, principals and teachers alike, they'll say that today, especially post-pandemic, many kids are so difficult to control, and parents have largely been off.
Yeah.
Hands off in all of that, and that has just caused so much problem for them.
Because their baby do nothing wrong. My baby would never do that.
Oh, of course not, but keep it behind closed doors in this case. Sounds like the teacher had a moment, not a pattern of bad behavior. Sure, there could have been a better way to approach an annoying kid who can't be quiet, but in the moment when the blood boils, tempers reach their peak, it makes sense when you don't know what else to do but yell out. Sure, there are some kids, too, who know how to poke the bear long enough to get the best out of the teacher. So shout out to them who put up with the kids like Chef.
Hey, how about Matt in Seattle says, hey, Chef, my wife goes up to misbehaving toddlers and tells them that she'll feed them to our cats if they don't shape up. She's 3 for 3 getting them to be quiet. I bet you that would work.
Used to have a high school teacher that threw rulers at me.
I just want to say.
I used to have a piano teacher that would smack my hands.
Yeah,
that wasn't good.
Did anybody get swats for not turning in your homework?
From my parents?
No, from the school. I did.
Yeah, brother, we don't want to go back there. We don't want to.
No, I'm not saying that, but I.
Yeah. He's going back to the paddle days. Yeah, oh, yeah.
The holes, don't want paddles and rulers.
The wiffle?
Yeah.
Sorry, Brother David, Brother Fairies, Sister Marianne. Didn't play
Did
no
you
games.
Did you get your mouth washed out?
With soap? Yes! Yes!
Sorry.
That's why Gen X and baby boomers, that's why we more behave than these new youngsters. I'm telling you. We need to bring the soap back. Oops, I can't say that. I scratched that from the record. Agree to disagree next. Gene Ursula.